Hi, I am Rahul Mishra, and I'm a fashion designer, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Yeah. My name is Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with talented and interesting individuals linked to the global Indian and South Asian community. It's informal and informative, adding insights to our evolving cultural expressions, where each person can proudly say, trust me, I know what I'm doing.
Hi, everyone. On this episode Once of again, Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing, we share a conversation with fashion designer Rahul Mishra. It with your friends and family.
Stay tuned.
And for following us on social media. Now, if you're enjoying these conversations, please take a moment to submit a kind rating and review wherever you might be listening or watching, as it's truly appreciated. So I don't think this hits anyone as a surprise, but seemingly the pace of our lives and the world around us is only getting faster. If all you pay attention to is the noise, it's really hard to focus on the signal. And I found myself asking this simple question over and over again. How can I slow down? It's a question that pervades everything, our work, our play, our relationships. And while it's definitely quite relevant for the conversations we're having about our inward self narrative, it's perhaps even more important to pause and reflect on how patience and a slowness can reflect excellence for our outward expressions. Now, in the fashion industry, there is certainly a perception, and maybe unfairly a misperception, from the outside of singular glamour, fast-paced change, trend-setting consumption, and runway sparkle. And so when I caught up with fashion designer Rahul Mishra, it was apparent that his lens on fashion is squarely focused on modeling excellence through a slow, patient, and mindful luxury. Rahul is based in Delhi and studied at the National Institute of Design in Ahmedabad. He's the first Indian designer to showcase at the annual Paris Haute Couture Week and has been a champion of slow fashion featuring traditional local artisan crafting and embroidery on a global stage. With his work showcased by everyone from Zendaya to Gigi Hadid to Bhumi Pernekar, Shahid Kapoor, and Priyanka Chopra, there's no shortage of celebrity. And through it all, his humility, affinity for the journey, and attention to community is both inspiring and magnetic. You know, almost all of his creations are handmade and take several thousands of hours, with his total focus as creative director on the team of designers, tailors, crafters, embroiderers, and artisans. Rahul's latest theme has been entitled We the People, which reimagines a fashion worker's trance interlaced with their immediate reality. Along with his wife Divya, who's his business partner, Rahul takes immense pride in celebrating and elevating and empowering each member of his team, aiming for everyone to look at mindful luxury with an eye on participation and not merely consumption. We shared a conversation about everything from patience to sustainability to his persona as a leader and even as a parent. And when I was curious about how he knows when one of his pieces is complete, he reminded me of the importance of the group's effort in every endeavor.
You know, very, very first sentence also, I used the word us. Thank you for inviting us, because I'm not just representing myself here, I'm representing the entire community. And what we do at Rahul Mishra is essentially a community work. We work with multiple people, so any idea. Like right before joining you here, I was having a meeting with my design team. So any idea which starts with a dream or a thought or anything which kind of inspires me. So very first thing which happens in that is that I put it together to create a kind of, you know, within myself, I need to be very certain about that idea. Then I share with my team. So sharing is the most important thing. Once I share with the team, it becomes their dream too. Then the teams keep getting bigger and bigger, where we keep sharing that idea. So it reached to the, you know, last person who is actually embroidering or crafting it. So somehow it might be an idea or dream of a single person, but it becomes almost like a community dream. And that's how I really feel, you know, in the process of things. When we know that everybody is acting with their head, heart, and hands are kind of synchronized together, things are happening.
Yeah.
So often it's not about, you know, how the product looks like, how the outfit looks like, but it's just about how we all are feeling, how much process we are enjoying. how much that dream which we all have, you know, put in together is making us feel elevated about it. So I think that is where I really feel once that thing clicks, we know that, you know, as a team or on an individual level, I also know that now we are ready to take on this idea. We are ready to take on, you know, this thing. And I think whatever we do in that process is going to be beautiful.
Boy, in the first few moments of our of this discussion, I think you've already exuded the and exhibited and embodied the whole entire idea of trust me, I know what I'm doing. And in this case, trust us, we know what we're doing is what it sounds like. I wanted to build on that a little bit. And, you know, it seems like because this is a community process, because it's a team-based process, because it's a collective, almost a hive mind of thinking, I've heard you speak a lot, and I've read much of what you've thoughtfully talked about when you're developing something, and the power of that slowness and the power of that pace, the power of that real patience, if you will. And I'm wondering, as you've developed your career, you know, with these ideas and with this team and with these stakeholders, has the process actually made you more patient as a person, more patient as a leader?
Yes, definitely. I think for us, when we develop couture, like any idea, anything which attracts you, which you want to work with, very easy and very quick is probably go and digitally print it. It will create half an hour job for somebody. You machine broider it, creates 50 hours a job. But once you create hand embroidery, it creates thousands of human hours of work. So for us, this becomes very important. Like instead of seeing primary objective of luxury being just consumption, we are here to create a system that explores power of participation. So more slower things become more participatory, the whole processes get. So in that way, it becomes very, very important for us to follow the rhythm. I really feel the best construction and best things can happen when we follow a rhythmic process almost as if the music is playing. Yeah. For us, making process of clothes and design process clothes akin to celebration of music. And that is what is really beautiful. You know, all of us, we always talk about sustainability. You know, more deeper you go, you can write books on sustainability. But I really feel the single word which can define sustainability like no nothing else is rhythm. Anything which follows natural rhythm, anything which follows nature's rhythm is going to be sustainable. So when you work with human hands, you are respecting and following nature's rhythm. It's the most gifted natural tool.
I'm curious about that. Sometimes nature's rhythms are incredibly fast and they're incredibly spark filled. So, you know, there's the phrase of catching lightning in a bottle. And do you ever risk sometimes those ideas being such a brilliant comet-like flash and ever risk losing the power of that with the kind of gentle, you know, flow and rhythm of music, as you elegantly stated? Are there some times where you wish, like, wow, I have this really exciting idea, I want to zoom with it, but it doesn't necessarily fit the pace and the scale of what your team is doing?
You know, again, I really feel like when you follow rhythm, nature doesn't have a fast or slow rhythm. Nature is nature. When you look at fury of nature, that's part of nature. We all have to embrace it.
Sure.
We can't really, you know, that's how I think life is all about. We celebrate life, but ultimately what comes is end of life.
Yeah.
So in the same way, you know, I think once you connect a bit of spirituality to the way you think, the way you work, I think there's no hurry, there's no rush. There is rush, there are deadlines. There's, for example, Paris Couture Week is just like 2 months away from us. And those deadlines we have to meet, we have to manage those.
Right.
But a lot of times, I think one has to respect the pace of the process.
Yeah.
And, you know, I, as a creative director, this also becomes my responsibility to make sure that everybody performing the way they should perform. And maybe also we need to have enough time in our hands when I'm thinking about ideas. Yeah. So I think the pace is more a personal pace, but not a process-related pace. You know, a lot of times, like right now, as I speak to you, we are going through designing a new collection.
Yeah.
There's one idea. I've been just working on the idea itself for last 2 to 3 months of time. And now we do not have more than 2 months to make the entire collection. But you know, once you get it right, it becomes very easy to build upon that. So I think the very foundation of any idea is you know, polishing it, making sure that what you want to communicate, that is what is happening with that.
Does that allow you to, in some ways, is embrace making mistakes and, you know, enjoy that process instead of it being a really calamitous shortcoming?
I think mistakes are beautiful. I always believe that mistakes are the most amazing thing, because when you make mistakes, when you are struggling to do something, it means you have to try to do something new.
Yeah.
Because if you create a formula around your working, around your design process, then, you know, if you are succeeding way too quickly, it means you're not trying something new. So, for example, it happens very often to us in a new collection. We take longest time to make first outfit. And we struggle. We fail multiple times. Like, first outfit takes almost like 10 to 15 attempts to make. And think like that. You have made like thousands of clothes. You have done thousands of new designs. And then you're struggling. It might psychologically be very, very difficult. But then I always tell my team that the reason we are struggling is because we are trying to do something new. So keep it up.
And beautiful.
Yeah. Keep failing as much as many lines as possible. So that, I think that's what the true joy, that's what the originality is going to come out from.
I wonder how much crossover this has had in parenting also.
Yeah, definitely. Like with a daughter and our ideas, like yesterday she was asking, what are meteorites? How they fall? Do they convert to ashes? She was wondering. And I don't want to give her scientific answers, because if I tell her all science, I'm going to kill her curiosity.
Yeah.
So the beauty is when she's asking, oh, wow. She said, oh, can this happen? Did life end on Mars? I said, yeah, probably. Yes, it may be.
Because,
so do you think humans existed? I thought they can be anything which existed. Let's figure it out what existed.
Yeah.
Let's think about those. And then she asked me yesterday night only, do you think one day the life is going to end on Earth? I don't want to make her sad. I don't want to tell her like what is going to be. I said, maybe, maybe not. Let's try to find. So I think the beauty is the wonderment, because when you wonder, you are in the road of discovering something.
Right.
If you give answers way too quickly, you are, you know, finishing that, you're kind of extinguish that entire flame of curiosity.
Yeah.
So I think I'm also inherently curious, and I'm learning a lot from my daughter, Arna, the way she is curious. She has got almost like sometimes as a father, I get like, oh, how much of answers I need to give? How could I answer so much? But you know, when you start wondering with her without trying to give her answer, even life is easier for you also.
And I bet your team responds to that exact same ethos, right? Where it's like, look, let's gather ourselves and let's, you know, make sure that we keep asking those questions instead of jumping to try and find an answer.
Yes. And that's what today was happening. Like I was asking, like there was some of the geometrical things which you had to solve to arrive to a very pictorial kind of artwork. So I was asking everybody, you know, I was trying to look at different forms of geometry to fill the surface and fill undulation in the surface, still following a geometric form. So all these are almost like science exercises, almost like mathematical equations. But, you know, it was very fun. Like, so we were a group of 10 people just right before this, we assembled. We're trying to find new answers. We are trying to map what makes an aesthetic appreciated across the globe. What is underneath that? What is the foundation of it? So although most of the designers, they are not good in maths, but I think maths can also, we can make it look very interesting. And that is how you start liking it more.
That's right. It's another reminder why math and calculus and geometry and all these things are applicable just about in any way.
You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, let's come back to our conversation with fashion designer Rahul Mishra. Stay tuned.
Conversation. It's the antidote to apathy and the catalyst for relationships. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, this is Madhuri Dixit, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing with Abhay Dandekar.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tam France.
Hi, guys. I'm Ananya Pandey.
Hi, my name is Richa Morjani, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing with Abhay Dandekar.
Welcome back to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with fashion designer Rahul Mishra.
I wanted to ask you, you mentioned the Paris Haute Couture, you know, week, and I'm curious, since this is something that you, in many ways, is kind of like one of your first real signature moments, how has the significance and the impact of this week maybe evolved for you now as a designer? I'm imagining that, you know, it means something slightly different than when you were first starting out.
Yes. In India, we did a first show back in 2006 when I was studying at NID. And then after that, when I graduated, I started showcasing regularly from 2009 onwards. 2014 was the Woolmark Prize win, and then I got invited to showcase at Paris Fashion Week at Edouard Calendar. Since that time, almost 10 years, I've been part of the Paris Fashion Week calendar and showcasing amongst the best brands, you know, in the world, most talented individuals who are shaping global fashion industry, has been a big privilege, you know, in terms of being there, also in terms of learning, in terms of hunger, in terms of curiosity, what we have built so far. So yeah, the Paris Haute Couture happened in 2020. And I was very surprised when I got to know I'm first Indian ever to be at couture, because India is known to create most amazing embroideries. And somehow indirectly, directly, India's craft was showcased always on global runway through global brands, through brands like Dior, Chanel, and all these mega brands.
Yeah.
So now when we showcase alongside with, on the same calendar, my show is right after Dior on the calendar on day one of Paris Haute Couture Week. What it does, like, it's the same journalist who walks into our store, our show.
Yeah.
And she had seen Schiaparelli, Dior, all these kind of brands right before us. And after my show, she will go for Thom Browne. Then after that, she goes to Jambes Sawali, and second day, Chanel. So by the time these journalists, they write the review about your collection, they have seen all the best work which is happening in the world. These are big powerhouse. They are also big advertisers. So in that way, it has improved our body of work. It has taken our thinking to next level. And I really feel, coming from India, we are also to create a new narrative for the country at large. And especially when you look at creative expression in fashion world, is one of the, you know, highest order in the world. So, and also Paris Haute Couture Week is not, it's it's a very, very global fashion week, because then you look at people on the calendar, like people, you have American design like Thom Browne who comes and showcases in Paris. We from India showcase in Paris. Thomas Savalli, Italian, designer showcase in Paris. Or Valentino from Italy comes to showcase in Paris. So it's a great place for all the global talent to be in. So it's a lot of learning, a lot of, exposure. And it also have improved our body of work, because every season when we look at that, there's a challenge. It's very challenging to keep doing it season after season. But these challenges, they polish us. And that is what makes us, stay creative.
There's a saying that, iron makes iron that much stronger and sharper. And I wonder, with the backdrop of, some of the names and kind of iconic brands that you just mentioned, and with your showcasing of your team as artists, as craftsmen, as a whole community of, team members here. And yet at the same time, we were just talking about math and we were talking about science and the background with that. So when you think about the world stage, when you think about the math and the science, but then you also think about the art of it, has all of this particularly made an impact on you as a storyteller?
I think there's a great deal of art in maths and science, and there's a great deal of maths and science within art also. If you look at nature, if you look at any flower, any leaf, any sapling which is coming out of thing, or if you look at animals, if you follow everything, there's a beautiful geometric pattern which you find everywhere. So there's almost like a pattern. So as a designer, whenever I observe things, a lot of patterns, they almost float out of every imagery for me.
Right. Yeah.
So in that way, what is happening, or when you also look at somebody like Buckminster Fuller's work, Bucky Fuller's work,
yeah,
there's also a lot of geometry, a lot of beauty, which is again survival of nature. Or when you look at Escher's work, so there's a pattern. There's a bit of science in everything, whatever you see.
Yeah.
So I think I've done science graduation, and then coming to art, for me, which I keep telling every young person, is like, the distinction between science and art is created by schools.
Right.
There's no difference. So a lot of times what happens above schools, schooling is such. So I think design is a kind of problem-solving exercise, and design is where I really feel art, science, commerce, everything comes together.
Sure. By the way, in making that important blend and recognizing and embracing that they are so beautifully intertwixed together, has this also made you a better leader?
Yeah, definitely. I really feel, I think, I do not call myself a leader, but I'm a thinker. I keep thinking about it, keep connecting dots. So sometimes when you look back, you are able to connect dots. But when you look in front, you are able to map a roadmap for you, for your people, for your company, for everything what you're doing. So in that way also, it becomes very, very interesting, very, very important. And I think I'm always curious. So I always love to find, different things. I love to talk to different people. So that somehow have polished me. And I'm a dreamer. I always think positive. So I think the beauty of looking back and connecting dots, because you're going to remember best things in life and worst days in your life. They both you're going to remember. So when you start connecting dots, then you start connecting dots in such a way, wow, that was not a great thing which has happened to me, but that was so much needed. So you start valuing your failures, because what happens when you succeed? And success often makes your head very heavy. And I really feel in design, success is the biggest enemy, because you fall in trap of finding a formula. When you're a filmmaker, one film succeeds, then you start making formula films. You try to find a formula which have worked for you. Same thing happens in design. So I always say that success is like, and I made these mistakes also. Success is like a biggest enemy of creativity, because it allows to settle down a certain pattern. Or other failures are never going to allow you to settle down. You will always try to find new things. You will always go to change. And change is really beautiful. That's the biggest constant which should happen to all of us.
Do you remember, in thinking about and reflecting on this now, in your time in design and in thinking about this with particularly with fashion, do you remember, when do you first remember realizing that fashion design could be your vehicle for expression and more so not just expressing yourself, but actually empowering others to express themselves?
You know, fashion is, for me, it's a tool where I'm able to, you know, work with more and more people because of craftsmanship, because of craft. And for any artist, you can't be bounded just with an idea. Like, for example, right now, I design spaces. I also make, maybe it's for personal uses. I also make such furnitures. I'm building a house right now. I'm playing a role of an architect. So, you know, a lot of things.
There's a lot going on.
And I also love to look at films. I love to animate things. You know, I love to look at some of the amazing, you know, work which people have done. So a lot of inspiration around us. So I don't want to limit myself just to one idea. But the philosophies are same. Like, for example, if I have to think about I'm building a house, if I have to make windows, if I have to make furniture, I do not go to factories to buy things. I try to make it with local craftsmen, local people, local welders, local carpenters, and what I can express out of those things. So whether I'm building a house or I'm building a dress, you know, or I'm building a furniture or I'm stitching a dress, I always think about slower options which are available. And then you think of slower options, because I really feel processes at the journey of anything is far more exciting than the product itself. So how do we make sure that the journey is really beautiful, and journey is enriching and empowering also? Like, I'll just give you one example in fashion. Like, recently for our haute couture show, it's called We the People, dedicated to all the craftsmen we work with. So we have taken two of our key embroiderers. One of the embroiderers is Mr. Afzal Zariwala. We call him Afzal Bhai. I got motivated to do hand embroidery. I used to be a handloom guy because of him. So when I started working with on hand embroidery, he taught me most of the things, how it is powerful, how it should be used. And we have been working together for around 10 years. And recently we made his passport, we got his visa done. I asked him, like, you should have got a passport done earlier also, because then he told me and Divya that he sent his daughter to study in the UK, in London, economics. And I was really, really happy. Like, you know, what fashion could enable him, what design could enable him, somebody who has never gone beyond primary education, to make sure his daughter gets the best possible education wherever is possible in the world. For me, this power of design, a humble craftsman who comes from a small village called Bonpur in West Bengal, is able to dream, and this is dream of any parent, any father, to be able to, you know, send his children to study wherever they want to go. Every mother wants to do that, and he could achieve that. So for me, this was a real power of design. This is a real power of participation with what we do together. So I was very, very moved and very, very happy.
I think the outcome, of course, and the journey that you speak of being just as beautiful and enjoyable, and the tool that you're talking about, it makes me think, of course, of the brand, because the brand is built as mindful luxury. And the more and more I hear you talk, is this also kind of the reflection, the direct mirror reflection and the proxy for your own persona?
I think here for both of us, for me and Divya, my wife, because we both are founders of this company, we both learn from each other. She is most strong and at the same time, most kind person I know. You know, she always keeps me motivated, keeps me grounded. So I have to give credit to her for thinking like that. So two of us together, I think whatever we have built is somehow a reflection of what we are spiritually and thought process-wise.
Very thoughtful, yeah.
We will keep going more and more deeper into it. Like Divya always talks about, like, we should not just impact the people who we are working with. We should also go beyond there. We should also go to their families and make sure everybody in the family also really, you know, they can. It's not about just for a sustainable basis. It's all about empowering them to be able to dream. Whatever small or big dreams they might have. Look, recently, I was my team shot a video during We the People. There's one person, Khalil Ahmed, he has been working with us for the last 4 or 5 years. And they asked him, what is the dream? So he was very candid. Normally people hide their dreams. He was very candid in saying this. I just sent my son to study university and I really dream that he comes first in this class so that I can educate him further. And then after he's settled, he comes first, I can buy a car for myself. And for me, you know, again, this is a powerful dream. And I will be very, very happy on the day when he shows me his new car. You know, he just works on tailoring floor. So for me, collectively, that is what is the most powerful thing, what we do. And that is where I really feel, although I enjoy architecture a lot, I enjoy furniture making, I enjoy animation, maybe I enjoy filmmaking a lot. But my first love, what I'm doing is fashion, is going to be there because fashion is really powerful. If you slow down the process and allow show the power of participation.
You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, we'll come back to our conversation with fashion designer Rahul Mishra. Stay tuned. Every story told is a lesson learned, and every lesson learned is a story waiting to be told. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Lily Singh, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Hi there, I'm Abhay Dandekar, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with fashion designer Rahul Mishra. When you think about this as, you know, it's a fine needle to thread, no pun intended, as you are trying to make sure that you're so thoughtful and you're so mindful of your team and your dream building along with them, as an entrepreneur, at the end, is this still about, does it make the success of being an entrepreneur that much richer because you know that it's being shared with so many?
Yeah, from day one, when we started this company, went profitable. And I think profit is, you cannot just look at bottom line or top line in profit.
Right.
I think what we are creating is the value. This value is far more, and often like entrepreneurs equate value to money. Often many entrepreneurs make mistake by thinking about money as an ultimate goal because money is just a fuel.
Right.
You know, but you create a team, you create a company. Company is made with people, with team. I think money is a fuel for all of us and how we make sure that this team keeps growing. How do we make sure that we keep adding more and more people? Because It might sound stupid to dream that big, but me and Divya, we really feel maybe in our lifetime, we want to work directly, indirectly with 1 million people. Because India is the most populous country today. How about creating employment, creating sustainable employment, creating people, so everybody in our this building, whosoever is there, they all are like paid way more than sustainable wage, maybe 2-3 times more than minimum wages.
Yeah, right. Everyone seems as if the success is theirs, and it's a collective grandeur. There's at least for those who might be naive to how your company works and even the fashion industry works, the front face of fashion is often the sparkling, glamorous runway. And that showcases the fashion piece for an individual. So short of course, having all of your entire team of artisans and craftsmen and tailors at a particular showing or on the runway itself, what's the best way to amplify those thousands of hours of very intense work that goes into something that is perhaps worn by an individual for a few minutes?
So the idea is one cannot view fashion from one side, but often when outsiders view fashion through runway, it's almost like either you are trying to view the tie room through a keyhole and try to find what it is. And that's how people try to define a brand. Or you are just looking at the tip of iceberg and saying this big the ice is. Rest 90% is how, I always say, is why is a purpose, how is the process. And what you create out of that is participation. And the product is just a byproduct. It's not even part of consideration. I really feel as an entrepreneur, as a fashion entrepreneur, just do your things right. It's not about creating a gimmick. It's not about, bringing 20 people on runway every time, because it's not going to bring food to the plate. It is not going to be that empowering. You should create a real empowerment. Think like that. Think like Apple. Steve Jobs was always there on the forefront, but they were thousands of people who made Apple what Apple is today. But you as a team leader, almost like a director or creative director or a business leader who makes sure that everybody is together, everybody working for the common goal, everybody is think like that. We humans, we are thinkers. We all are uniquely different. How do you make sure that everybody works together and performs together and rises to occasion together? And they might be going through different personal problems, different professional problems. Sure. Somebody might be really happy because that person is getting married next month. Somebody might be really struggling because he has got an ailing mother at home. Somebody expecting a child. Somebody losing some dear one. So this is going to happen always. And always you're going to have a common goal. And always you're going to make sure that everybody comes up together, and create these clothes. So best way of putting it together is to have high level integrity and making sure that everybody gets opportunity to participate.
When the runway model is there, and I'm hearing you speak, and you speak so passionately about your collective work that your work embodies the voice and the power of so many of the people that you employ that work with you as part of this team. And hopefully this is something that translates to every single person who watches a runway show or a model who's actually showcasing your work. With that being said, you just mentioned Apple and technology. I can only imagine that in 2023, there's even more pressure for companies to become automated and to have AI even get introduced into some of these things. And I can't imagine from what you're talking about right now that this would ever enter the ethos of a Rahul Mishra production. Is that a beauty unto itself to absolutely ignore the prospect of what a computer can do to this?
No, we use a lot of communication, a lot of technology is being used. Like, for example, even when a clothes, one of the biggest trends what the brand has, we employ a lot of villagers in the process, and we reverse migrate some dwellers back to the villages so that we can take care of them and they can live with their families, take care of their own families. Because one of the typical problems which happens in India, villagers do not have enough share of work. So villagers had to migrate out and live in slum area and work from there. And that's where most of the embroideries are happening in Bombay and Delhi. So what we're doing is we have started 10 years back a process of reverse migration. We create small little setups in the villages and make sure the villagers, they work from there. They live with their family, live their home, and they get paid even more what they were getting paid in Mumbai and Delhi. So what it does to be able to enable all this, we need a lot of technology. So one of the reasons either WhatsApp became very powerful, FaceTime became really powerful. A lot of craftsmen, what we work with, they use iPhone, etc. The communication is the key over there. And AI will also be enabler for us to communicate what we really want, to make sure how an artisan who is sitting alone probably with his family, who works from home for 6 to 7 hours or 8 hours a day, how we make sure that he does not miss any part of communication. What colors of flower has to be done? What embroidery has to be done? So I don't think we embrace technology like any other company. But technology should assist human hand, not replace a human power, not replace a manpower. Right. Technology should be enabler for us. Technology should not replace employment. That is where we are coming from.
As a fashion designer and as someone who thinks in and dreams, do you ever wake up in the morning and after a very vivid dream and say, aha, I just came up with some beautiful design and I need to share it with someone?
Actually, this happens a lot because while I'm going to sleep, I'm in a thought. And what happens in dream, it gets layered a bit. It gets twisted a bit.
Yeah.
Then when I go to take shower, I think I'm lost in a zone.
That's what happens. Right.
Lost in a zone. And that is where, like today in the morning, one of the reasons, like I try to do my creative meetings at 10 o'clock in the morning. So I met with the team, had some ideas, shared with them. So it works a lot. It happens a lot.
Almost the spontaneity of quiet when you're actually alone with your thoughts, but then, you know, having the platform to amplify it with your team. To keep fashion continuing, I mean, especially something that's just so intimate and personal, particularly to the end user, I imagine that there's a balance between that spontaneous idea generation, the thinking of your team and every single person you mentioned, the craftsmen, the other designers and people involved on your team and in this community. And there's that balance between kind of spontaneity and creative innovation, and then also the reliability of comfort, or the comfort of reliability. So as you straddle both of those, how do you cultivate trust between both loyalists to the brand and those who may be new to the Rahul Mishra experience?
So, you know, a lot of things, like, for example, cannot be explained just in words, so there might be no reason behind it. It's almost like, for me, design is like music. It's a great music, good music. Whether people understand it or not, they're going to appreciate it. It's like ERMA's music. Jai Ho, for example, or obviously I love the tracks from Rosa more than any track. And I'm sure more people hear it, they're going to love it. Like, I played this soundtrack from Guru for my recent show in Paris. And everybody loved the track. They did not understand it. It just transcends the happiness, which is, I really feel like, you know, we are not just stitching a garment with threads. We are stitching the garment, or embroidering happiness in the garment, a true happiness. Yeah. So this happiness has got an instant connection with the takers. They just feel happy about those. They just love those. And that's how I really feel like, you know, a true poetry or artistry cannot be created under stress. You know, you might be stressed, you might be sad, but because situation, because person situation, because one might argue what Van Gogh has created. You know, even melancholy, even a bit of sadness also has got some undertone of happiness, undertone of being comfortable in where you are.
Yeah.
So I think this state of being an artist and also when you're happy, you are able to anyway to do good work. When you are probably, because this is what happens to all of us, sometimes we are sad, sometimes we're happy, sometimes we are feeling grateful, sometimes we are feeling dejected. But art allows us to vent out all these emotions and ultimately calms us down. So the calmness of the embroidery, you know, the inherent happiness of the embroidery transcends. Then the same outfit is hung on a shop floor. One doesn't have to try too hard to sell it. It just connects instantly with a person of any race, any ethnicity. You know, that person might come from anywhere. They just like it. And that is the beauty of art, is it's often very universal. And that's what we try to create. We try to create something which is extremely universal. And just 2 days back, I was in Mumbai, I saw one young girl wearing one of the outfits I created, one of the first pieces which I created with Afzal Bhai almost 12, 13 years back. And I'm sure she would have been 7, 8 years old when this outfit was created. Obviously, it was not created for her. So I walked up to her. I asked her, oh my God, I forgot about this, that we have created this at one point of time. And where did you get it from? She said, oh, this belongs to my mother, what is that? So I was very, very happy to see, you know, how, you know, from one generation to another generation, the beauty of that handmade piece remained constant, as if like it's breathing its own life.
Well, you know, Rahul, I think as universal art and universal comfort and breathing life into multiple generations, I think more and more people are appreciating all of your work. Rahul, what an absolute treat to have a conversation with you. I really enjoyed it. I hope you'll come back and join us again at some point down the road. And thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful seeing you.
Thanks so much, Rahul. And please check out more at rahulmishra.in. It's a big world out there, so hope you can do something kind for yourself and for someone else. And thanks so much for listening. Till next time, I'm Abhay Dandekar.